The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday, as we work together to know the letter better, into the deeper parts of Philippians we travel to understand the things the Lord doth require of us, and we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives as we seek to bring glory to God in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Ready? Going to be different. Ready? There once was a monastery that was very strict. Following a vow of silence, no one was allowed to speak at all. But there was one exception to this rule. Every 10 years, the monks were permitted to speak two words. After spending his first 10 years at the monastery, one monk went to the head monk. He said, it's been 10 years, the head monk said. What are the two words you'd like to speak? Bed hard, said the monk. I see, replied the head monk. 10 years later, the monk returned to the head monk's office. Been 10 more years. What are the two words you'd like to speak? The head monk asked. Food stinks, said the monk. I see. Another 10 years passed by, and the monk once again met with the head monk, who asked, what are the two words after these 10 years? I quit, said the monk. Well, I can see why, replied the head monk. All you ever do is complain. Yeah, that's a big part of things. Plus, did you know that we should live the gospel in such a way as to shine? So do people need sunglasses when they are around you?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the Not That Funny David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? But before we do, I'm going to explain that joke to T. Okay. So the monk was there for 10 years. Okay. And so after 10 years, he gets to say two words. So the only two words he said, bed hard. And then the next 10 years, he gets to say two more words. And then he goes, food stinks. And then he goes through another 10 years. And then he goes, I quit. And then the head monk goes, well, I understand. All you ever do is complain. See, and so it's over 30 years. The guy said six words. Aha! I had to explain that. By the way, if you are interested in reaching out to us, you know you can do so by text, 214-210-8483, or you can call directly and talk to T. If you can do a better job explaining the joke, you're welcome to. 972-445-0770. Here is the opportunity for you to share a praise report, prayer request, pop question, whatever the case may be. We haven't even asked yet. How can we have people calling? How can you have somebody call? We haven't asked a question yet. If E equals pi, what is square root of, you know, rhubarb? I don't know. Okay. They can hang on if they want to hang. Do they want to hang on? So they can. Is it Ronnie? He wants to be first.
Oh, no, no, no. It's actually somebody. He just wants to say something to you.
Oh, okay. I'm going to let that come. All right. All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Brother David, it's Marcus. It's been a while, but I just wanted to chime back in real quick and just say, hey, I tuned in today. I've been real busy. I do road service. It's a very fresh breath of air.
Oh, I'm so voice. I'm so glad to hear that, my brother. That's fantastic. And I hope this show is a blessing for you.
Absolutely. How things been for you?
Okay, that's very. Hey, you want to try the trivia question?
Sure.
Okay, now I'm gonna help you out. Okay, what color was the manna? Remember the manna? It was, remember what color it was? Kind of colorish. What color?
It wasn't like a wafer, like clear, maybe, paperish.
Right? So it's a little bit like a whitish, yellowish, kind of whitish kind of look. There it is. Good enough.
Puff
we'll give
pastry,
it to you.
Real, real light and airy. Anyways, I didn't want to call and you know, any other reason just to say hi and tell you I miss you, man.
Oh, man, I really appreciate that, brother. That's a blessing.
Do a great job, and seriously, God has absolutely blessed me to have you in my life as an encouragement to keep my faith going, because it's every once in a while when you're running 24-hour shifts and you get to where you're not thinking straight and things start to become reactive, it gets goofy.
Yeah.
You already know.
Yeah, no, I do. I really do know. And so I really appreciate that. And we will specifically be praying for you just that much extra harder for the next couple of days just to give you a refresh in the spirit, man. That's what you need.
That's what I've been asking for. And Jesus says, you know, ask the Father and he gives the Spirit without measure, so ask and you'll get it.
Yeah, no,
so
you,
I'm,
a lot
I'm totally
of people
down for that. So.
That's right, and a lot of people. What people are afraid of is, you know, they don't want any weird stuff to happen. You know, like that super super bizarre, which you understand. But look, more of God in you is a good thing. That's a good thing, not a bad thing.
He made us. I mean, if we're compatible and he's granted us to partake in his Holy Spirit, us abiding in him and the Father abiding in Jesus, and all of us being one, as it talks about in John 17. What gets better than that? I mean, the love that the Father has for Jesus, that he has for us, how much more personal can it get, brother?
That's such a great point.
So when you unlock to that level, and then you can finally open up your eyes and wake up, as I finally did last night, got some time with the Lord I've been needing for a long time, and I feel finally satisfied. It's been way too long, been way too busy, but I just want to say, like I said, brother, it's amazing that you've been faithful in what God's put you here to do. And I really appreciate it. You mean a lot.
Now, that's a real blessing, brother. And the Lord returned that upon you as much of a blessing as it was for me. May he grant that to you 100-fold.
He already has. You answered the phone, right?
That's a good point. I love it.
Well, I'll let you go, man. Have a great show. I'll keep listening. You're awesome. Okay. Love you, bro.
All right. God bless you, brother. Awesome. Boy. I'm not going to tell anybody that I paid him to do that. I didn't pay him to do that.
You paid him. I can already
see
it.
I did not. You know what's so funny? I don't even pay me. This is the problem. It's one of those negative kind of things. All right, we got to get to the text. There's just so much to cover, and you know how I feel about this because I really want to get to the word. Excellent call. We want to say thank you so much, Marcus. What a great, awesome opening. You know, what a blessing. I mean, that's just a blessing. Brother, that was a blessing. I appreciate it. Let's get to the text. Philippians, we're going to do our text. Let's do our sound.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
All right, there you go. That has absolutely nothing to do with expository teaching, but I just like hearing that every once in a while, so I just play it, and that's what we do. Here's what the text says. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to go 14, 15, and 16, hopefully. It says, do all things without complaining and disrupting or disputing. I'm sorry. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. First thing Paul says after he goes through his big theological statements, huge, huge stuff about Jesus Christ and, you know, being fully God and fully man, and he gets into the Christology. It's super deep, super cool. And then he goes, you know, I really got to say, you got to do all things without complaining. Uh-oh. Now, this is the challenge. It doesn't say do some of the things you do without complaining. I know. It says do all the things that you do without complaining. And there's a couple of reasons why, very, very intense. But keep in mind, this is the general things that we have to do, the regular things in life you have to do, do it without complaining. And the specific tasks that God has given to you, do it without complaining. The main thing for you and I to recognize, and I'll get into it in a second, but the main thing to recognize is the reason that we're supposed to do it without complaining is because complaining reflects a bad attitude. Okay? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when we're whining and complaining, the Lord's probably not just up there going, you want a little cheese with that wine? Because the problem is we get so discontented. And Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The greatest thing at all, and you think about Marcus talking about just having his touch from the Lord, just having that reconnection. The Holy Spirit is our down payment for that which is to come, and for all the things that we think we can or should complain about, they do not compare to the greatness that God is granting us now and the greatness that he will grant us when we're done. Now we see it dimly, and it's fantastic. It's incredible. It's life-changing. It's amazing how God can just, in a snap, can just change everything in your world. And I'll give you a kind of a nice example. I'll be real careful how I say it, so don't get all freaked out. But I was in prayer today, and I noticed that I was being kind of, I don't want to say grumpy. maybe semi-whiny. Maybe semi-whiny. Wasn't a lot, was just a little, right? And, you know, and I told the Lord, you know, I'd like to do better in some of these areas, just like everybody else. I want to, you know, walk, and I don't want to displease you. And, you know, I have a hard time sometimes because I think that I'm, like, exhausting you in your grace and just kind of irritating you and so on and so forth. And I will not say the Lord spoke this to me, but this was the thing that came. I'll be careful how I say that because it's certainly not like the written word. But the idea came to my heart and mind that the creation of God's grace didn't come about by my effort, and the continuation of God's grace does not come about by my effort. In other words, I didn't create the grace of God, and I'm not the one that can sustain the grace of God. This is something that God grants, not based on merit, but based on the fact that he does everything in love, and his attitude and his action towards his kids is fantastic, and he puts up with a ton of stuff, and he loves us no matter what, and walks us all the way through that. And so it just dawned on me, and it kind of changed my spirit or my attitude. I didn't start this grace thing, and I'm not the one that's going to keep this grace thing going. That's up to God. He's the grace master. I just want to be a receiver. I just want to catch the football, so to speak. Right? I didn't create the football. I just want to catch it. So the idea behind that is to recognize, be thankful, be appreciative. You want to stay away from 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 12, which basically tells, or in the New Testament, where it talks about God swallowing up all the people that complained. Don't do it. Be a person who appreciates and express that. Don't be complaining. Very dangerous place to go with God. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Get your real estate agents here on sale, only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you, a dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God for you and I. God provided his own burnt offering, his own lamb of sacrifice, because our presentations are not that hot. And this is where you get the understanding that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And the wages of sin is death, That's the result. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God showed his love for us while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. That's the love. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you have never made that decision, I invite you right now to make that decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is where you get John 3:16, which people will say is the gospel in a scripture, which is not far off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift is available for you. And if you have never exercised that acceptance of that gift, I encourage you to do so by saying this prayer. And don't go anywhere because I got another one for all of us. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth you died for my sins according to the scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon, and I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you and pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a Christian.
On Christ the solid rock.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you are a Christian. The entire universe does not have to throw up Skittles, nor do you have to light fire and throw little animals on it. Okay? That's the whole point. That's what we do. We accept Jesus Christ into our hearts by faith. Acknowledge God's testimony. Not just receive it, respond to it, engage with it, and yield before him, and he is unlimited in his mercy that he grants to us if we are sincere in our approach to him. You know, if you try and fake it, you're on your own. We're going to do trivia at the end. So real quickly, the website, don't forget the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so now I want to be really careful how I say this because I want you guys to know everything that's going on and keep everything. So last month we had a good month for us. I mean, for us, anytime we're taking in extra, we're really happy about it. This month we're dying on the vine. So there's no point not telling you what's going on. It's like we're at the 15th and we're like 95% behind. I just know the Lord allows this kind of stuff so that not just our patience and our faith is tested, but that there's this full dependence. I do think that. It's not that I wouldn't share it with you and tell you what's going on. I just think that everybody, you included, me included, all of us included, we go through that. And that's part of the process and it's part of growing up. And, you know, I've met a lot of very mature Christians, some of the most fantastic, I would say most of the influential leaders in the Christian church alive today. And I will tell you, once you meet them, you find out one of the most amazing things. They're just like you, human and going through every trial like everybody else. A couple corrections I want to make because I do want to be as earnest about some of this stuff as I can. So I did want to make a correction. Yesterday, I made a reference to Jesus said, I have come not to send peace but a sword. But I said it was from Matthew 10:38. It was actually Matthew 10:34. So I was wrong on the address there. And then another thing that I have been teaching and got a little bit more clarity on, and it would be good for you guys to know, just it's not like the end of the universe kind of thing, but in Psalm 23, when David wrote that psalm, I had kept thinking that was the cave he was in when he was going through his process with Saul. That's actually incorrect. The process he went through when he was going through Saul, when he was being chased, is Psalm 142. Psalm 23 was most likely, because a little bit of argument in it, that when he was on the retreat from Absalom, his son. Which I think is kind of fascinating, you know, that he would write that, you know, process. Now, these are things I just told you right there. Those last two things on the Psalms and the cave and Absalom, they're not in stone. The Matthew 10:34, that's in stone. That's immovable, okay? The other things, There's some question back and forth. Let's get to the text, okay? I want you guys to stay text-focused just for a little bit. Do all things without complaining, we just talked about that, and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. The word disputing. So I'm actually reading this out of the New King James Version for those that are trying to figure out, weren't you doing the NIV? I was doing the 84 NIV. Now I'm doing the New King James Version. The word disputing is a legal term, and it has to do with civil suits. And so you know how everybody gets upset and something happens and something goes wrong, and then everybody goes, sue, sue, let's sue, let's sue. And it's like, I understand that from a lawyer's point of view, they want to name their daughter Sue, but we're supposed to be a little bit less oriented that way and not just, let's say, dispute happy, okay? And that, again, is supposed to be a reflection of Christ. Here's what Paul says, though, that really catches a lot of people off guard. Remember we talked about justification, sanctification, and glorification, okay? Well, we've already been justified. That's done. That's the past. The penalty of sin, off, done. We're over. We're going through sanctification that makes us look like Jesus. This is the power of sin that we're being delivered from, and we're becoming more and more like Jesus. And then you have glorification, which the presence of sin will be eradicated, and there won't be anything, and everything will be perfect, and we'll have new bodies, and everything will be awesome, okay? But in this time, we're going through that sanctification. So Paul says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become harmless and blameless children of God. That's a really nice way of saying, hey, you're not there yet. You can get upset, but this is what he's saying. You're not there yet. Now, these are people that Paul loves and that they love Paul, okay? But he's telling them, you got more to go. And that's what every Christian should have, to some degree, a recognition of. Not you have more to go in justification. You're saved. But this working it out to look like Jesus process, still going on, and going to go on until you hear the trumpet personally, or until the Lord corporately blows the trumpet. And while that's going on, he wants us to become something that they weren't quite yet. And the word blameless in this text, because it says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless, that's like pure or not deluded. Okay? Not diluted. And what that means for you and I is not watered down, which means your faith cannot be mixed with the liquid of the world, thereby watering down your understanding of truth, your activities and faith. Don't be deluded. Not delusioned, diluted. In other words, you take salt and you put a cup of water in, right? So you got a teaspoon of salt and a cup of water. If you add 50 more gallons of water, you're not going to know there's any salt. You get it? That's the whole thing. That's diluted, right? And it says to be blameless and to be harmless. And the harmless is just a classic word in Greek. It has to do with being non-injurious. In other words, don't hurt people. Your goal is not to hurt people. You can disagree with people. You can have a completely different political position. You can have a different political or a sports position. You can be a person who thinks football is better than baseball. Okay? Some really bad worldly teachings from political leaders. If you don't support it, you're against it. Okay. Don't care about professional badminton. I'm not against it. I just don't care. And so it's like there's a big difference there. Now, against things, okay. I'm against certain things, okay? I don't think that that's the same thing as not caring, okay? Badminton, professional sports, who's first and second, third, don't care. It's just, you know, celebrity bowling, don't care. You see what I'm saying? Okay? Professional hopscotch, I don't care. You get it? It's not that I'm against it. I don't care about it. There's a big difference. In this case, when it says to be harmless, it's non-injurious. Don't hurt people. That your goal is not to be hurtful. It's to be a blessing. That is your goal, by the way. Speaking of goals, you ready for this, T?
Speaking of goals, I'm going to do the next trivia question because I want you to not forget what we're talking about. Zacchaeus replied to the people that he had cheated, that he was going to repay the people he cheated. How many times the amount? In other words, he goes, if I've cheated anybody, I will repay them. Okay, how many times? All right. And while you're trying to answer that, which, by the way, you can do by either calling us at 972-445-0770, or you can text, right, 214-210-8483. Zacchaeus, he needed to repay people. How many times is he going to repay people? In the meantime, while you're getting to that, I think I'll do it right now. I'm going to do this additional, brand new kind of thing, but we're going to use the same Hava Nagila. I guess I'm not going to get through that because somebody's calling in. You know, I have a plan for the show, and then God goes, that's cute, Dave. That's cute. Here, watch my plan. That's pretty much how this goes. Okay. Which sound is it? You just gave me five different sounds. All right. T is losing it in the corner. Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Dave. This is Al again. How are you doing, bud?
Good. I'm doing fantastic, Al. All right. What do we got on Zacchaeus? He had to repay people the amount that he had cheated them. How many times did he have to repay them?
I want to say seven.
No, but that's a good guess. Now, here's what I want you to think about, okay? Here's what I want you to think. How many Gospels? How many Gospels are there?
Gospel books?
Yeah. How many in the
Four?
New Testament? Yeah, that's right.
Five.
Ding, 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 ding. He was going to pay people back four times, any amount that he failed to pay. Whenever he cheated them, he was going to pay them four times more than he cheated.
Okay.
So that's listen, if you just paid somebody back double, that would be huge, right? But then if you're going to pay them back like 200%, that's just incredible. But he's going to pay them back, you know, 300%, you know, their money plus 400%. It's like incredible. That's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
That's a man that got changed by Jesus Christ. That's for sure.
Very cool, David.
Good job, my friend.
Have a good day.
All right, you too. All right, so here's what we're going to do. You know, the show goes up and down. Have fun. So the next segment, we're going to do history, and then we're going to do our first Hebrew word. We're still going to use the same Yiddish music because it applies. You can use it. I can use it anywhere. It's Hava Nagila. How can I not use it? Okay. But the answer on that trivia was 4. And for those that are looking for, those that are looking for the reference point, it'd be Luke 19:8. Are you having fun? T's in the corner.
Yeah, I'm struggling. You're
popping every button. There's like,
it went from one to another. And I was like, wait, this needs to stop.
Okay. Folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table, and somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I can't remember if I told T this or not. I have to think about it, but I think that was the one place we moved out of it. We didn't not only not get a deposit, we had to pay like $200 or something. You know how you're supposed to get your deposit back? Yeah, it didn't happen.
Man, yeah. I know you was upset.
Yeah, I mean, that's yeah, and that carpet was, you know. Wait, here's what I have to say. Whoops. That's what I have to say. See, that's what you never want to hear a surgeon saying during surgery. Whoops. Okay, what? No, don't say that. All right, let's get to the next trivia question. We'll move this one right on top because we just did that one. Excellent answer on the last one. And then let me tell you, something like that where you have a guest that takes it, I like that. I think that's better, and I'll tell you why. Sometimes it makes us think about it and talk about the trivia question, and then kind of you make associations. And so the next time you hear about Zacchaeus, you're going to think, four times, like the final four, like the four Gospels. That's exactly how you learn. That's how you keep it retained. So just remember that. Okay, this is a tough one. And I believe I have actually asked this before. I'm going to ask it in a different way, but this is a tougher one, okay? So just take a deep breath. Don't get upset if you don't know. It's okay. In the Promised Land, there were how many cities of refuge? Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, and now we're doing new music, right, on the history. We're going to try some new music. The person that made the suggestion for us to use the one music gave us a suggestion for another music, okay? But before we do that, somebody's calling in. But we're going to try the new music, and then I'll get back to the text. Relax. I promise there's years and years and years of this to go, okay? Years and years and years and years and years to go. Years to go. All right, we ready? Okay. I know what that sound is. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie. What's going on, brother?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. My wife is on vacation, so I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit jealous in a good context, but in a bad context, because she doesn't have to do anything.
Well, I can understand.
Yeah. She's like, so 2 years, she's got her first vacation. Like, okay, well, do whatever you want. I'll do all the other stuff. So, all right, here we go. So in the Promised Land, there were cities of refuge. Do you remember how many there were?
Six.
That is correct. Six. Wow. champion. What a great job. That's an X. Did you just know that? Did you just remember that? Or did you have to kind of think about that one?
Yeah, I already knew it.
Oh, that's so good. That's an excellent job. That's a really tough trivia question, so you really get props for that. Good job.
Yeah, you had three I guess it would be considered the south side, and then you would have had three on the north side.
That's right. Boy, you are just killing it today.
Well, thank you.
You're just doing great. And so there was six. So people have often wondered six, and some people think there's an association to half the tribes of Israel because there were 12 tribes. I don't know, but there were six. we got
it
that.
It couldn't have been half of them because on the north side before, Jeroboam.
Right.
Before they split up.
That's right.
It was Reuben. It was the half tribe of Manasseh. And then I think it was, I'm thinking it's Gad, but I'm probably wrong on that.
Yeah, now I can't even remember. I had it, and it just went out of my head. That's because there's so much information in my head, it just continually leaks. Anyway, I can't. But you're right. That's a half tribe Manasseh. It's Reuben, Manasseh, and I think it's Dana. I think it is Dana.
I
could be wrong.
I can't think of the third one.
Right. So it was just a location thing. It didn't have much to do with anything else. So.
Yeah, it was the three cities. You know, they had to spread them out so they could have equal distance.
Yep.
Try to get to them because of the area.
Yep, that's exactly right. Boy, you're doing just great today. I appreciate that. Good work.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you, my bro.
God bless you, too, and thank you.
Uh-huh. All right.
Have a great evening.
All right. There we go. All right. We're rocking and rolling today. Let's get to the text. Got to get to the text. Here we go. So we've just been talking about do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless children without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Hey, guess what took place in Paul's time? In Paul's time, there was a perverse and a crooked generation. Hey, guess what took place before that? When Jesus was walking the earth, there was a perverse and a crooked generation. Hey, guess what took place in Moses' time? There was a perverse and crooked generation. Guess what's taking place right now? There's a perverse and crooked generation. Not new. Can we just say not new? Nothing new. Just okay, got it. Okay. It's an unbelieving world. And the system of the world, and keep in mind, you got to make that distinction. It is important to do this. When it says God so loved the world, he's talking about the people of the world. But when it says God, anybody who's a friend of the world is an enemy with God, that's not people individually, but that's the world system, the unbelieving system, the antichrist system, the anti-God system of thought and of procedure and of existence. And it's when man, if you really want to understand its great depth, it's right back to the garden when the temptation from the enemy came to Adam and came to Eve, and the whole temptation was you will be like God. And so the whole premise is a godless world where man becomes the God. And that whole premise has been going on from Genesis, from the garden. And it's the same thing. And then that same spirit of not God and of man being more important and man being God in the growth of that system and the pollution of that system and the sinfulness of that system, that's the anti-Christian government system worlds. And all of those things are the things that God despises. He loves the people, wants to pull them out. But guess what? Not everybody's coming out. You want to know why? Because God gives them that opportunity to choose. Does God know what they're going to choose? Of course. He's omniscient. He knows everything. But they still have to take accountability and responsibility for their decisions. And to really put a handle on the argument where people argue about predestination and then having free will and all of that. You know what God says in that whole process? You know what God says in Romans 8 and 9? Who are you to talk to God? That's the entire argument from Scripture. Who are you? You're a vapor. Here, gone. Yeah, you don't have a right to challenge. Oh, but We can challenge God. Good luck. Let me know how that goes. Here's Paul, when he was Saul, riding on his donkey, and God knocks him on his keister and blinds him, and then goes, you've got to do stuff for me. I see no free will at that moment. I see Paul blind going, okie dokie. Listen, you got to stop this arrogance, this human arrogance, like we get to tell God. Just got to stop that. Every generation is crooked and perverse, an unbelieving world. That's where we're supposed to shine, and we're supposed to shine so much that it's bright, because in their world is darkness, and in our world is light. Jesus is the light of the world. We got to shine. Now, by shine, that does not mean the squeaky wheel gets the oil. It's not the people that shout the loudest. It's not the people that do stuff the most arrogantly. It's none of that. It's reflecting Jesus Christ. You know, people came to Jesus in their encounter with Jesus, not just because of his anointing, but because of his countenance. They were like, this guy's cool. It wasn't like he was shining, not until Revelation chapter 1. But he was approachable. People approached him. You know, and the idea behind that is not to try and say that Jesus was something special that drew people, because Isaiah 53 pretty much speaks against it. But he wasn't pushing people off. And, you know, we should be like that. Like, I've had encounters and discussions with people. They absolutely, positively think I'm nuts, right? Well, some of you guys think that anyway. But they like engaging. And that's where the Holy Spirit moves into them and challenges them. And it's not up to us. It's not up to me. It's not up to you. Just be there. Just be available. Be that light that shines in the darkness. The world is full of darkness. And, man, just... oh, my goodness. Just shut your TV off for 24 hours every now and then. Shut the radio off. Even this show, any show, everything, for 24 hours. Sit out in a forest and count the birds, or do something like, get away from it. Because it's just so much man-made stuff. It's like, hang out with God. Get away from all that. People go, well, is God nature? No, but you can go to his creation, quiet yourself down and listen for him and talk to him. And he did create it, so I mean, it's a part of what he is. But I'm just saying, shine that gospel. Be away from that darkness. Reflect light. Don't just be another statistic of another crooked and perverse generation that does nothing for the kingdom. Be somebody who's not a pain in the tush. How about that? Yeah, it's nice. Okay. Very theological. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Just as I am. Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me say something really important. I want to give a big crying send-off to my good friend for 7.5 years, Lefty. Lefty has today. Oh. I know, I'm so sad. Lefty has actually left the place of honor that's been with me for the last 7.5 years doing radio. Lefty was my one-eared headset, my headset that I would listen to. Yesterday, towards the end of the show, the circuitry in the very complex $19.95 multiple years ago headset decided it could no longer endure, and we had to put it to rest today. So now I have a much more expensive but really on sale from Amazon, so got it for a smoking deal headset. But it has two ears, so one of the ears is behind my head. And I haven't given this one a name yet. It's got like one ear, but it's a, I don't know. Yeah. But then everybody say goodbye to Lefty. Bye, Lefty. Bye. All right. There you go.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, got a couple things we're going to do. We'll do our trivia question. We're going to do our first Hebrew word. We're using the same Yiddish music, so it's not going to be difficult for T to get. We'll get there in a second. But first, we'll do this. Then we'll talk about the website. Then we'll do the word. Then we'll finish up. Okay? All right. Here is the trivia question. Name the New Testament book that was written to Gaius. And it could be Gaius. And somebody said it's Jaius, but I think it's Gaius. So just what I'm going to go with. Okay? G-A-I-U-S. Okay? All right, there you go. There, that's it. That's all I'm giving you on that one. Don't forget our website, because we're broke, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Like I threw that in there? Because we're broke.
Just love the little toss.
Yeah, there it is. All right, here we go. Our first Hebrew word, full Hebrew word. Let's have our music for our Hebrew word for our definitions.
Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, ve'nisrecha.
All right. When you grew up in the Jewish culture like I did, that's kind of like the Pledge of Allegiance. Might be a good way to think of it that way. Your first Hebrew word, barach. Now listen. Listen to how I said that. Say it the way I say it, because I'm going to show you something real quickly. Barach or baruch. Barach. Go. Can you do that?
Barach.
Right, barach. The word means to bless. Baruch atah Adonai. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God. So baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. So the idea here is it's blessed. Jeremiah blessed his scribe, barach. There is a baracha, okay? Now, before you get mad at me, it's not political. It's just, it's. You can't do anything about language. I'm not the one that creates it or changes it. Barak is not Baruch. Barak has more to do with lightning. So Baruch, Baruch atah Adonai, bless, that's your first Hebrew word, okay? You think you can remember that? Here's how you can remember it. Baruch, Baruch.
I was thinking like Barack, because at first I thought you were going to say Barack. I was going to say,
that's kind of like Barack, like a Barat, like a sausage, Barat. Think of sausage. I'm just helping you guys. Okay. Yeah. You'll probably never use that unless you're reading the Old Testament in Hebrew, which I don't know why you would do that. But I mean, I guess if you wanted to, you could do that. Let's go back. Okay. So we already have some answers coming in on who that was written to. We will get to that towards the end. Baruch. Baruch. Not Barak. Baruch. Okay. See, and in Hebrew school, they made you. They literally sit there and go, goch, 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 and you had to do it like 10 times. All right, here's the thing I want to say at the end of this verse. I love this text. I love this book. It's one of my just favorite in all the world. He says in verse 16, hold fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul didn't want to think that what he was doing was useless. No person, and let me say this about your pastors or about the people that you receive ministry from. Nobody wants to think they're doing it for nothing. Nobody who's a genuine Christian ever does it just for pay. Ever, ever, ever. Okay? False prophets might do it that way, but a genuine servant of the Most High God really wants to know that what they're doing is having an impact. Which is why I would say to you on a regular basis, I know this, I do this, I believe it's not just only correct, I believe it's sorely lacking in the church. When a pastor preaches a message and you hear something and you're at church and it like, you just go, man, that was, I really needed that. Tell him, hey, that was really helpful. You don't tell him every single week it was really helpful, because the truth is not every single week it's going to be a stellar 10 message. But there are times in your life where you'll hear a message and it makes an impact on you. Let the pastor know. Let him know, oh, that was good, because that really helped me. And you don't have to, you know, fill him full of compliments. It's not full of pride. Just let him know you appreciate it. It's all you're doing is saying thank you. It's like when you do a good job at something, you like it when somebody says, you know, great job. I appreciate it. So just be willing to do that. And he's like, look, he goes, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I've not run in vain or labored in vain. He doesn't want to do what he's doing for nothing, right? Okay. All right. We've got somebody calling in. Is that what? Nope. Okay, we're okay. So, and then let me just say one other thing, because I'm going to do a summation on this text, and then I'm going to give you kind of a distinction. So just bear with me. When Paul said, you know, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, he's saying, let me just sum it up for you. Don't have a bad attitude. Don't have evil reasonings. Don't hurt people. Don't be accusable. Don't be hurtful. Don't be dark, but shine. Live the gospel. That's what he's saying. Live the gospel. Be a person that, you know, expresses that there's good news. And that, to me, becomes the big, big difference between Christians who are really trying to push towards the Lord and those who are just, you know, playing out the game. Okay, so in our country, there's a lot of people that claim to be Christians that aren't even close. They don't even know who Jesus is. They don't even believe what he says. So it's like, that's baloney. There's nothing true there. In every church, there are fantastic, true, devotional believers, and then there's people that are just pew warmers. And that's been happening for years and years and years. Nothing new there. But I will tell you one distinction that Christians seem to miss quite a bit, and that is, it is not supposed to be the oi of the Lord that makes us strengthened in him. It's supposed to be the joy of the Lord. And I want to make a point on this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Okay, so see the second one, right after love, the second one is joy. But a lot of Christians live their life in the oi and not the joy. And guess how wonderfully non-reflective that is. In other words, somebody's looking at your life going, yeah, I don't want to be like them. It's like, well, you can't blame them if you're walking around in the oi of the Lord. It's like, well, who wants to – I mean, it's, nobody wants to get out of bed, meet somebody, and go, you know, I think I'll be like Eeyore today, right? Woe is me. It's my birthday. Who wants to live around or hang around people like that? That should not be going on for us. Our eternal weight is so stellar cool. It's so absolutely fantastical that all of the stuff we go through now, Paul writes it twice, is not worth being compared to, not even on the same scale as to what we're going to get. The stuff we go through now, bleh, the stuff we're going to, right? It's the difference between a pair of roller skates where one of the wheels is broken and a Rolls Royce. You get it? I mean, there's a big difference between those, right? And so where we're going, absolutely. absolutely fantastic. Do we have to go through different trials and things to get there? Yes. But guess what? Those trials are not to be even put on the same level of that which is coming. Because that which is coming, and I've said this before, and I know people are going to get freaky on me, but I don't think our current bodies could handle the presence of the Lord on a continual basis. I actually think they would explode or something weird, or they'd melt or something like that. That's why we need resurrected bodies to spend eternity with the Lord, because that's the only one that can handle it. Because this body would just go, it would be like, you know, like the Wicked Witch of the West was water poured on her and she melted. I kind of think that would happen. And the thing is, the Lord wants to give you that joy. It's his pleasure to give you the kingdom. Have you read Luke 12:32? I know you have. That it's the pleasure of the Lord to pour his kingdom into your life. He loves it. But he has some requirements, and some of those are faith and persistency and so on and so forth, and a little less pollution. And that's what Paul said, don't be so deluded. And it's just wonderful if we could grasp, and this does bother me, and I'm confessing it. I'm confessing sin and the error, so it's the easiest way to do it. It bothers me that the Christian hope comes off as just, we're just escaping. We're just escaping. It bugs me because it's like, okay, we're not just escaping. We've got streets of gold. You got pearls that are going to be what the gates are. It's going to be gold and diamonds and all these different colors. And that's just so we can catch the illustration of how fantastic it's going to be. I just think it's so extraordinary what's coming. And that's our hope. And so every day that you push through, you might be just getting through this life, but the goal is to get to the next, right? This isn't home plate. Like, this isn't the home. And people get mad at us. Oh, you save the planet. Save the planet. I'm looking for a new universe. What are you talking about? I want a new heavens and a new earth. The one that God is so manifest that I enjoy his presence so much, I don't need a light bulb. That's the one I want, right? That's a real hope. Not the oy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, okay? All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll come back. Yeah, yes. Oh, I forgot to get the answer.
Who knows when a broken heart.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.